life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. As the song says, for my mother, it was a way for her to forget her troubles, and yet it was so much more. The idea of downtown gave its listeners a way to step into another world. Surrounded by store displays, beautiful things, and bright lights, you could lose yourself in imagining another life. In the 1999 film Girl Interrupted, where the autobiographical premise is situated around Susanna Kaysen's experience of surviving a psychiatric ward in the 1960s. One scene depicts a situation where Kaysen and another patient set out to help soothe a patient who has been locked up in solitary confinement. It is the middle of the night. As these two patients sit outside this other patient's barred door, one patient plays a guitar while the other sings through the door vent. If you can envision it, these two characters are played by Angelina Jolie and Winona Ryder. Although the patient is distraught, she is quickly appeased by the music and the lyrics' suggestion of forgetting your worries.
Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again.
This scene reminds me of my mom. Like these women, my mom found solace in music. It gave her a way to escape her pain. She could ride the wave to hopefully reach the other side of an earlier psychotic episode. If patients were permitted to feel their feelings and talk about the inciting incidents that led to their psychosis in the first place, it might aid their healing. If psychiatrists allowed patients to talk through their pain and go through the wild side of their feelings, maybe they would come out the other end differently. In the memoir, Girl Interrupted, Kaysen surmises that maybe insanity is just a matter of dropping the act, and suggests that crazy isn't being broken or swallowing a dark secret. It's you or me amplified. In the film, Kaysen keeps a journal in which she writes about the other women in the ward. The film portrays these characters as women who struggle with getting to the root of their issues, the truth of their situation. Of this, American writer Mary Carr argues that truth is not the writer's enemy, but rather, truth is the banister they grab for when feeling around on the dark cellar stairs. It is the solution. When we allow ourselves that truth and can feel grounded in it, we are more apt to effectively communicate with others. In Kaysen's situation, she found solace and healing through her writing and by becoming able to tell the truth of her life. Life is like that sometimes. People need to be able to be in their issues without others trying to fix them. They need to be able to work things out without drugs, without shock treatment, without barred doors or nurses who have too much power and too many keys. The psychiatric ward was too restrictive for my mother, and the doctors only got in the way of her healing. I believe that she was prevented from getting to the other side of her sadness. I remember once when I was an adult and I could advocate for my mother, I met with the psychiatrist and talked with him about what I knew about her situation. He minimized what I was saying and discredited my mother's memories and said, "That's just the mania talking." And so he opted for a 6-week treatment of medications and shock treatment 3 times a week for my mother. And the end result was her nerves were shot, and I believe that was the beginning of the end for my mom. Ironically, that psychiatrist, the day after I met with him, he went on to a new assignment at a different facility. So he had made those recommendations with my mother, knowing he wouldn't be there to see them through. Although my mom never got the formal help she needed within that system, I believe she survived her mental health challenges and the psych wards by accessing music in the real world. It carried her out of her pain and gave her hope. It also gave her joy. As far back as I can remember, my mom loved music and was a huge fan of musicals, Bing Crosby, and me. She loved it when I sang to her. Music brought her such joy. She could be in a pit of despair, in the lowest of lows, and yet music could pull her out from that shroud of darkness. I think music was my mother's spoonful of sugar. It gave her hope, and the combination of the two made life go down so much easier for her in the most delightful way.
It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
Do you know someone with a gambling problem that's out of control? Or maybe that person is you. Get the control back. Phone the Gambling Helpline at 1-888-795-6111. Help is available all day, every day.
Radio Tale number 12, on the cover of Musical Influence. Music has woven itself throughout my life and has touched on themes that reflect my lived experience. All the while, my early musical education has been informed by my family and especially by my older brother and older sister, also by osmosis, it seems. Although my brother and I fought a lot in our younger years, by the time we reached our mid-teens, we became sort of like sibling friends, hanging out with some of the same people and going to some of the same parties. Perhaps this is because we are barely a year apart. For this reason, it seems, I was introduced to his music, either directly or indirectly. Aside from his music collection, my brother's room was strewn with stacks of Mad magazines, the sports section of that day's newspaper, and the latest edition of the Rolling Stone magazine. As such, I paid attention, as is clearly outlined in Joni Mitchell's metaphorical lyrical content in California.
So I bought me a ticket, I caught a plane to Spain, went to a party down a red dirt road. There were lots of pretty people there, reading Rolling Stone, reading Vogue. I said, how long can you hang around? I said, a week, maybe two.
From younger sister eyes, it looked like he knew a lot about music, rock and roll mostly, which made him seem cool somehow. He had albums of the most popular bands of the day: Led Zeppelin, The Who, Pink Floyd, Supertramp, The Stones. Then there were the solo artists: Meatloaf, Blondie, Pat Benatar, Bruce Springsteen, Elton John, and Ricky Lee Jones. As Jones surmises in Chucky's In Love, we teenagers question the changes we saw in one another, which often came down to love, young love. Aside from my brother's musical collection, I like that he paid attention to the critics, as was apparent by the stack of Rolling Stone magazines and the pile of art reviews on his bedroom floor. I think he recognized the influence that critics and the media had on an artist's musical career. A strong review could make or break a career, as could a song with a pointed message, something that Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show sing so pointedly of in their signature tune on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Oh, I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers, we got golden fingers, and we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills that give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we've never known is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover? Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother? Wanna see my smiling face?
Music comes to us in many ways and through many avenues, influences, and soundtracks. As the music's bass pounds through the ceiling of my neighbor's apartment above, I am called to reflect upon my childhood home and the music that sounded throughout. This calls me to think about who my brother was as a young man and how music, his music, came to inform who he would become. When my brother was younger, as he made his way home from baseball practice, he'd often stop in at the Victoria Drive furniture store, the same store that sponsored his Little League baseball team. In the back of the shop, the store sold a selection of 45s, which, back in the day, were music singles that had been posted on the Billboard Hot 100 earlier that week. One such tune I recall from his 45s collection is the 1978 novelty song The Streak by Toronto actor Ray Stevens.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation. On the scene at the supermarket, there seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was just standing over there by the tomatoes, and here he come, running through the pole beans, through the fruits and veggies, naked as a jaybird. Ethel's over there in the jams, jellies, preserves, and pickles. I hollered over there. I said, "Don't look, Ethel!" She dropped a whole jar of kumquats and fell back into the sweet midget sire. Had us too late, she'd done been incensed.
Here he comes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
Here he goes.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Well, yes, they call him the Streak.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
Fast thing on 2 feet.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
He's just as proud as he can be of his anatomy. He gon' give us a peek.
With age, my brother moved on from hit singles to full-length 33 albums. As his collection grew and as he went through phases of listening to certain artists, so too did my awareness of music change and shift and grow, mostly from hearing his music through the walls of my family home. I recall him going through a Joe Cocker phase with the UK singer's version of the Beatle tune, A Little Help from My Friends.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk down with me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Oh, baby, how you mind?
I don't know where my brother heard the music. Probably the radio, perhaps his friends, or like me, by osmosis. Regardless, he seemed up to date on current musical trends. Similarly, my parents and my older sister also followed musical trends in country music. There are many others in my life who have influenced my repertoire of music. They include friends, boyfriends, media outlets, movies, soundtracks, and of course the radio,
of which Harry Chapin speaks to in Remember When the Music, a song that reflects how music impacted my young life.
Remember when the music came from wooden boxes strung with silver wire? And as we sang the words, it would set our minds on fire. For we believed in things, and so we'd sing. Remember when the music brought us all together to stand inside the rain? And as we joined our hands, we'd meet in the refrain. For we had dreams to live.
Somebody was always listening to music or tuning in to the local radio station. If it wasn't my parents listening to CKNW, my older sisters dialed in to CKLG or CFUN, while my brother tuned in to CFOX.
As for me, I listened to CFUN, hoping that eventually my favorite cover tunes and Billboard hits would be played, as is reflected upon in Queen's Radio Gaga.
While we are drawn to a song's lyrics by the stories they tell and their reflection of our lives, we are also drawn to the various aspects of the music itself, the rhythm, the beat, the genre. In fact, in Musicophilia, Tales of Music and the Brain, Oliver Sacks suggests that there are inherent tendencies to repetition in music itself, such that our poetry, our ballads, our songs are full of repetition. Nursery rhymes and the little chants and songs we use to teach young children have choruses and refrains. We are attracted to repetition even as adults. We want the stimulus and the reward again and again, and in music we get it. Perhaps, therefore, we should not be surprised, should not complain if the balance sometimes shifts too far and our musical sensitivity becomes a vulnerability. It is therefore not surprising that we are drawn to stories and nursery rhymes as children and later to songs, music, and lyrics as teenagers. While we benefit through its influence on language and embodiment, we also benefit emotionally. Not only can it render us vulnerable, it also has the ability to lift us out of depression or move us to tears as a remedy, a tonic, orange juice for the ear, to express inner states or feelings, and to pierce the heart directly. That's another one of Sack's quotes. Regardless of how music came into my life, because its ability to affect all lives is so dramatic, personal, and experience-specific, each song in my musical soundtrack somewhere, somehow, informs my life.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without the song I dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Radio Tale number 8. Pardon me if I'm sentimental. As my family drove across the prairies that hot summer, those humid days, those humid nights, we drove across the miles, across the land, with dirt blowing in my face and bugs in the windshield. Music filled the air. As my family made that four-day trek across lonesome highways and through the Rocky Mountains, beside Lake Louise, and through Radium Hot Springs, we settled in for the night, and the music of the airwaves came along for the ride.
Men said by my side, if you love me, do not hasten to bid me adieu. Just remember that Red River Valley and the cowboy that loves you so true.
In my family car that summer, we had Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton, Stompin' Tom O'Connor, Helen Reddy, and Delta Dawn. We had a little bit of country and a little bit of rock and roll. And we had Dad's favorite, Hank Snow, to lead us down that long, lonesome highway. We even had a little Jackson Browne and the Loadout. Much like Hank Williams, Hank Snow was a mainstay in my family home growing up, and he was one of the singers in my family's car that summer. To this day, Hank Snow remains nostalgic to me, a country singer who can transport me back in time to conjure up fond memories of that prairie summer of my youth, of that summer so long ago. I wonder if Hank Snow has fond memories too.
Pardon me if I'm sentimental. Say goodbye. Don't be angry with me. Should I cry? When
Tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. Tonight's show has featured radio tales over the years. Stay tuned to Wave Station coming up next. And now I leave you with one final tune, a song that takes you right into the night and into the weekend. Some of you may remember I've often talked about when I was in high school, I fell in love with love songs. This is a song that came out long after I graduated from high school, but boy, it's a good one, and I bet a lot of young girls out there fell in love with this song when it hit the charts. This song is from Haley Reinhart and is off her 2016 CD, Better. Here we have her rendition of Elvis Presley's hit single, Can't Help Falling in Love. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with. Would it be a sin? Oh, if I can't help falling in love with you. Oh, like a river flows surely to the sea, darling.
Seem like there's a tag on you, nor any markings. Are you a stray? Oh, you poor thing. Are you injured? I better bring you into the SPCA. They'll know what to do. Every day, pets are lost and found astray on our busy streets. Most animals belong in the neighborhoods in which they are found, and their guardians may be out looking for them. If you think you have found a lost animal, report the animal as found to the BCSPCA and let them know if you're willing to hold on to the animal until the guardian comes forward. If you're unable to hold on to the animal, please contact our BCSPCA Provincial Call Center at 1-855-622-7722 for a direction on where to take the animal.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.